I want to show you a photo on the screen, and let's see how many of you know who this family is. Who can name them? Who are they? The Jetsons. Meet George Jetson. It's one of the greatest all-time commercial or cartoons ever. I'm going to leave it up for a little bit here. Have you ever thought, I was thinking about this week, have you ever thought about how the Flintstones and the Jetsons are exactly alike? I mean, it's the same interaction with the boss, with the family, the same storylines, except one is in the Stone Age, one is in the Space Age. You really haven't thought about that much, have you? Well, anyway, who can name all of them? We've got George, Jane, Judy, Elroy, Astro. Who can name the maid? Wow. That's awesome. You know, when I was a kid, I used to dream about how cool it would live in the Sky Pad apartments. That's where they lived. I thought their house was so cool. Remember all the innovative science fiction tech stuff they had in the Jetsons' house? They had Rosie the robot maid. They had a 3D television set. They had a bed that went into the wall. Remember the conveyor belts? You never had to walk anywhere in your own house. You just got on a conveyor belt. And, of course, the greatest thing of all was the push-button food maker. You just push a button on the Jetsons and have an instant meal. Well, here we are in 2011, and you know what? There's a Jetsons house coming to a home near you. It's called smart houses. It's amazing how smart home technology is growing leaps and bounds continually. Again, it's almost like some of the stuff we saw in the Jetsons are real. You know, in your home today, through smart technology, where your appliances talk to each other, through a voice command, you can lock your doors, you can turn up your heat or turn off your lights. You know, they are now making mirrors that you can put in your bathroom where there will be a television screen image inside the mirror so you can watch the news and weather while you're getting ready. They have refrigerators that speak to us now. The refrigerators will tell you when the food is getting ready to spoil. And there's even one refrigerator that will give you suggestions of what snacks to eat. Like, I need help with that, okay? And in Korea, there is a Rosie. They're actually in South Korea. They made a robot maid who does laundry and puts food in the microwave. The Jetson smart houses are coming to you. A smart house allows easy living, you know, more skillful living, easier on us, those sort of things. Do you know, forget the Jetsons, there is a smart house in the Bible. There is a smart house in the Bible. Now, the smart house in the Bible, you can see it on the screen if you can't hear. The Bible smart house is not a sci-fi tech place built by man to make life easier. Look at this. The Bible smart house, it is a spiritual house of God's wisdom to make life have meaning. God loves you, and He has a life plan for you. And big news this morning, there is only one you. That's how much He loves you. There is one you. And the only one you has only one life to live. God does not want you to waste your life. He wants this one life He's given you, and you're the only you. He wants to make it count for Him. God wants your life and my life to be a blessing to us, to bring benefits to others, and to bring glory to Him. And the only way we will not waste our life, and the only way we can have a life that blesses us, benefits others, and glorifies Him, we have to move in and live in God's smart house. We have to live in God's wisdom. And incredible great news, God's smart house, God's wisdom has an address, and it's the number 7, because His smart house is complete. This sermon series is called 7. We're looking at Bible verses in the Bible with the number 7, the word Sheva. Sometimes 7 means counting, but other time, here's a slide I've shown every one of our messages through this sermon series. It means significant symbolic meaning. This Hebrew word Sheva means completeness or perfection or fullness. To the Hebrews, God created in 6 days. Day 7, His work was completed. He rested. So 7, Sheva means completeness. God's work is perfect. God finishes what He starts. God put verses in the Bible with the number 7 to teach us this is complete. And it's encouraging to study those topics and those passages of Scripture. Said every message, this is not about biblical numerology. It's not about making 7 mean weird things or have supernatural power. It's none about that at all. 7 simply means completeness. God finishes what He starts. Now, our 7 verse today we're looking at is found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is much more than just catchy little good sayings. Proverbs are little nuggets of God's wisdom for real world living. If you want to live a life that pleases God, it's the book of Proverbs. Little nuggets for real world living. Now, in chapters 8 and chapters 9, we don't have time to cover both chapters. We're just looking at the first 5 verses in chapter 9. But chapter 8 and chapter 9 are about two ways of living. It's comparing and it's making a comparison and a contrast between two ways of life, the way of foolishness and the way of wisdom. And it illustrates the way of life in wisdom and the way of life in foolishness. It illustrates these through two women. The first woman is foolishness, and the second woman is wisdom. It illustrates in between those two. Now, in the Bible, we've got to understand this. Foolishness means life apart from God. In other words, someone can be a believer in Christ, but choose to live life in their own way, their own power, go their own path, and that's foolishness. Life apart from God, that's what foolishness means in the Bible, life apart from God. But wisdom is life accord with God, in accord with God. In other words, you're with Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. This is our text we're looking at. God's wisdom, God's smart house we see here. Two ways of life, wisdom and foolishness, lady wisdom and lady foolishness. Verses 1 through 5. Look at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. Wisdom, her house, that's our smart house. God's wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her, there it is, Sheba, her 7 pillars. Completeness. His house is complete. His wisdom is perfect. She has slaughtered her meat. Lady wisdom has mixed her wine. God's smart house, in verse 2, has furnished her table. God's wisdom, His smart house, has sent out her maidens. She cries out in the highest places of the city. Verse 4, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Three things about God's smart house. Number one, God's smart house is Christ. God's smart house is Christ. We are living in an incredible day of information and knowledge. But the Bible says wisdom. So what we need is wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. What's this? What? This is the 7. This is the complete. What's wisdom? What's God's smart house? What a day of information and knowledge that we live in today. Eric Schmidt, who's the main guy at Google, had an incredible statement. Every 2 days, we produce as much information that was produced from the beginning of man all the way to 2003. Combined. Every 5 minutes, we produce enough data that equals all the information in the Library of Congress. Professor Solomon Diamond, in his book, The World of Probability, he says that mankind right now knows 2 million more times about the universe and 2 million more times about the things in the universe than we knew at the death of Galileo. There's never been a day in humanity like we are living in today with so much information, so much knowledge. That's why you see people staring in little boxes all day long. So much information, so much knowledge, but so little wisdom. Knowledge and information is not wisdom. What is wisdom? What is this thing called wisdom? Wisdom is not street smarts. It's not having common sense. It's not a feeling. Most people think that wisdom is this. This is my son's hat where he got his bachelor's degree in history a year and a half ago. This is one expensive hat, let me tell you why. People think this is wisdom. Wisdom is a diploma. Wisdom is knowing facts. Wisdom is a good score on your ACT. Wisdom is a high IQ. Wisdom is being the grand champion on Jeopardy with Alex Trebek. Okay? No, that's knowledge. And that's understanding. That's not what wisdom is. There, we can have knowledge of the Bible. There are people who has Bible knowledge, but they do not live their life in God's wisdom. Wisdom that we see here, let me give you a pretty extensive definition of wisdom. Wisdom is succeeding in life. You want to succeed in life? Succeeding in life by God's standards for His glory. That's wisdom. Wisdom is not only knowing but doing. It's knowledge and information applied. Knowing and doing what is right from God's perspective. Two more things. Wisdom is seeing things from God's standpoint and responding with skillful living from God's principles. Wisdom is not knowledge and information. It's the application of knowledge and application. Wisdom is God's know-how, having God's know-how in life. Let me illustrate the difference between knowledge, which is knowing about, and wisdom, which is knowing how. When I was a zookeeper, I used to catch alligators. We didn't open up the gate and say, come on, alligators, get on me. You had to go in and physically put your hands on them and catch them. Okay, I did that. Now, I could give you a book that says How to Catch Alligators Made Easy. You could read that book. You could look at the pictures. You could know about catching alligators. You could say, I now have knowledge. I have information. I know about catching alligators. And I could open up the gate to their exhibit and have those eight pairs of beady eyes staring at you and say, knock yourself out. You know about. I know how. Difference. See, in this world, we need God's know-how. Think about this. In life, we face emergency, unexpected situations. There are things that come up at work that we need to make a decision. As parents, we want to raise our children, and almost daily we face things with our children and our grandchildren. We can have confusion in relationships in our lives. There are goals that we want to meet and that we feel like we should accomplish. Even as a church, how do we continue to go forward for God's glory and getting out the gospel? You may look at an area of your life and say, how can I change my life? This is real world living. We face situations, decisions, confusion, problems. Every day of our life, we go through life and boom, here's an emergency. Here's something at work. Here's something in our family that requires a decision. How do you and how do I process and make that decision? Because our decisions impacts us. It impacts our families. It impacts people around us. How do we make the decisions? There's only two ways we do it. We rely on the wisdom of man in the world, or we rely on the wisdom of God and His Word. And God is the only true source of wisdom. The only source of wisdom. You can get knowledge and information out of books. Education can bring knowledge and information, but only God can give wisdom. It says in James chapter 3 that wisdom is from above. In Daniel chapter 2 verse 20 that wisdom and power belong to Him. The only place to turn for wisdom is to God. And think about it, it makes common sense. God knows everything. He has all the answers. He is the answer. He sees below the surface. He sees beyond the horizon. He loves us. He's perfect. And His wisdom is infinite. Adrian Rogers says wisdom is not common sense. Wisdom is uncommon sense because there's nothing common about wisdom. Wisdom is supernatural and it's a gift that God gives. So here, think about this in the real world. Think about you face a decision in your family. There's something at work where you have to make a decision. There's a problem that's pressuring you. What are those things in your life that you're battling right now? A goal that you want to achieve. A route you don't know which route to take. Here's the great news about God's incredible wisdom. In real world situations and decisions, God enables an evaluation that responds with spiritual wisdom. We can go through the real world and here's something that comes up before us. What is right and what is wrong according to God? Boom, God gives us spiritual wisdom to know that answer. We can go through life and have a decision at work and say, okay, by God's standards, what is the highest goal here? Boom, God gives us the wisdom to know and the power to do what we should do. God's wisdom can keep us out of problems. God's wisdom, if we're in a problem, can let us know how to respond to that problem for His glory. God's wisdom, walking in His wisdom, gives our life meaning and purpose because everything we do, we'll want to point to Him, the source of our wisdom. Walking in God's wisdom, living in God's smart house, is living a God-centered life where everything starts with God. You go to work tomorrow and out of the blue, something just happens you never expected. When you walk in His wisdom, you can start with God in answering that question. You have a child, or maybe it's someone in your family that's breaking your heart. There's confusion in your relationship. Through wisdom, you can start with God in that situation. Questions, decisions, problems, situations. We can start with God. But here's the key. God's smart house has only one door. God's smart house has only one entrance, and His name is Jesus. We'll never know the wisdom of God. We will never have the gift of God's wisdom until we first have the gift of God's salvation. Apart knowing Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we will not have God's wisdom. That's the only first step. It's the only entrance into His house. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 at the end says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Talking about Jesus in Colossians 2, 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom's only source is God, and the only way we tap into God's wisdom for real world living is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we peek into the windows of God's smart house, we will see a Savior. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Bread and cup. Bread, cup. Bread, cups. Remind you of anything? How about the Lord's Supper? Bread, the body of Jesus on the cross. Cup, His blood that was shed for us all. You look inside of God's smart house, you're going to see a Savior because Jesus is wisdom. Because as Warren Wiersbe says, wisdom is a person we love and a path we follow. Think about going through life, all the situations you face, all the decisions, all the problems, all the goals, and to be able to instantly respond with God's wisdom. It starts with a person of Christ who loved us, who died on the cross, who rose from the grave. And through a relationship with Him, God gives us the gift of wisdom. Now, I'm going to say in just a moment, it's not 100% there, but He gives us His gift of wisdom. Thursday of this week was a joyful day for me. Man, oh man, was I excited. I was just bouncing off the walls all day long. It was my 30th birthday. You're saying, yeah, you don't look 30. But December 1st of 1981, as a college freshman, I asked Christ into my life. This Thursday was my 30th anniversary of knowing Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And it's the greatest decision I ever made in my life. It's the most wonderful thing that ever happened in my existence. I cannot imagine not having Him. If you want to dwell in God's smart house, there's only one door. And Jesus is the wisdom of God. It's devotion to Him. Let's go on. So God's smart house is Christ. But look, God's smart house is calling. If you walk by God's smart house, this is what's so great. You're not going to find razor wire and a stone wall, no trespassing sign, guard dogs, surveillance cameras, keep off the grass. You're going to see a door wide open. You're going to have an invitation of saying, come on inside, stop everything you're doing. I'm inviting you to come in. God's wisdom is calling. It's inviting all of us to say, don't face work. Don't face family. Don't face life in your own wisdom, in your own power, in your own. Let me, God is saying, let me be your wisdom. Let me help you know what is the right thing to do in that situation. If you look at verse 3 in our text, it says, she has sent out her maidens, wisdom, Lady Wisdom. She cries out from the highest place of the city. It's the highest place of the city so all can see and all can hear Wisdom's invitation, calling, saying, come on, come in my smart house. We see all throughout Proverbs how Wisdom is calling. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares, Proverbs 1:20. We can look at a ton of other scriptures. Wisdom is calling. Again, the first call is a call to salvation. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, to answer that call. But after we answer the call of salvation this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, wisdom is still calling you and calling me. When we got saved, it wasn't zap. I now have 100% of all the wisdom I ever need. This is very important. In our relationship with Jesus, wisdom is a skill that we continue to develop as we grow in Him. The goal of my life is to have more wisdom tomorrow than I have today. It's a skill that we acquire. It starts with Christ, but then each and every day having more wisdom where God will enable me to evaluate a situation and respond, not with my wisdom, but His wisdom. You know, wouldn't it be, how do we keep growing in His wisdom as a Christian? Wouldn't it be great in our culture if there was like wisdom fast food drive-thrus? And like you pull up to a window and they say, "Welcome to Wisdom. How can I help you?" You say, "Yeah, I'd like a number 3 because I've got a situation at work and I need to make a decision by tomorrow and I'm not for sure what to do. And could you supersize a little Wisdom because I've got a teenager that's just kind of, well, he's a teenager. Supersize some Wisdom there." And off the value menu, this isn't that big of a deal, but off your value menu, I need some Wisdom about how to respond to an email I got from a family member. Sure, pull up to window number 2. We'll have that Wisdom right out to you. That's not how it works. Here's the key, once we know Christ as Savior, to getting God's Wisdom as believers. It's calling us the fear of the Lord. That phrase, the fear of the Lord, is found 27 times in the Bible. And it's all throughout Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Here's how we get God's Wisdom. We come to faith in the Lord. That's the first step. Wisdom is Christ. After He is our Savior, then we live a life that fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Come to faith in the Lord. Then as a believer, live life, a life that fears the Lord. A life that fears God means this. It doesn't mean I'm afraid of God and I run from Him. It means I am in awe of God and I run to Him. It's honor, it's reverence, it's a life that desires to obey God and never do anything to displease God. It's a surrendered life that is serious about God. That's what it means to fear the Lord. So if we know Jesus as our Savior and we're surrendered and serious about Him as our Savior, here's how we keep growing in wisdom. What I'm about to show you now is how you and I each and every day can have more wisdom tomorrow than today. It's how we can face the situations, problems, decisions, confusion of life with God's wisdom, not our wisdom. Once He's our Savior, we're surrendered and submitted to Him. We do these 3 things. We've got to desire wisdom, ask for wisdom, and feed on wisdom. Those 3 things. We desire wisdom. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "With the humble is wisdom." In other words, I have to come to a point to say, "God, I desperately need your wisdom here. I don't want to raise my children in my wisdom. I don't want to try to do this thing called a career in my wisdom. I don't want to do this ministry or this mission in my wisdom. And God, I desire it because I know I can't hack it." We desire it. We walk in the fear of the Lord. Number 2, we ask for it. James 1:5 says, talking to believers, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it shall be given to him." We desire it. We ask for it. We pray for wisdom. And then we feed on it. We study the Word of God. I want to let you know, as your pastor, this is the number one thing I pray about in my life, is for God's wisdom. I do. 6,000 members, 60 different ministries, 10 different pastors, 80 plus employees. Man, I need wisdom as a pastor, as a dad, as a husband, as a servant. You know, like the 141 property. Man, I'm not shooting from the hip, wet finger in the wind. I want to let you know, as your pastor, I prayed about that. We desire it. We ask for it. Ask God for wisdom. You're in that situation at work. Ask Him for His wisdom. You're in that situation with your family. Ask Him for that wisdom. Do you ask Him for wisdom when you face those decisions and questions and problems? And then again, we feed on it. We will never know the will of God or have the wisdom of God apart from the Word of God. That's just a fact. I will not know His will and I will not have His wisdom if I'm not in His Word. So many scriptures. We remember what Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15. He said, "From your childhood you have known the sacred writings, which is able to give you wisdom." Wisdom is knowing God's Word and doing God's Word. It's not just to know God's Word and not obey God's Word is not wisdom. But to know God's Word and do God's Word is wisdom. I must saturate my life with God's Word. Part of a Bible fellowship, sitting under the preaching of God's Word, reading the Bible every day, putting it into my heart. I've got to love my family enough, the fear of my children. And if you have grandchildren, brothers and sisters, I love them so much. I fear of making decisions in my wisdom. I better spend time in God's Word. I want to have a good witness at work. I better spend time in God's Word. Here's how it all puts together. I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord because wisdom is Jesus. He gives me the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of me, inside of every believer, to empower us for the living of life. We walk in the fear of the Lord because He's given us in Jesus the gift of wisdom because Jesus is wisdom. We have a desire to walk in His wisdom. We live in the fear of the Lord. We're just serious about God and we're surrendered to Him. And we face situations and problems and decisions in life, but we desire His wisdom. We ask for His wisdom. We're saturating our hearts and our minds with the Word of God in our lives. And we're walking through life. And here's an unexpected emergency. Here's a situation in parenting. Here's a job decision we have to make. All these things come up. And He's our Savior. He's our wisdom. We're surrendered to Him. We desire, ask. We're saturating our life with the Word. At that exact moment, He will allow us to evaluate that situation. And He'll give us spiritual wisdom to know what we need to do. That is the way to have a blessed life. His wisdom. One more thing. Yeah, it's true that God's smart house is Christ and God's smart house is calling. But God's smart house is complete. Third and finally, it is complete. And that is our number seven. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. Doesn't mean it's between six and eight. It means it's complete. In other words, God's wisdom is complete. Don't need to add anything to it. It's perfect. It's what we need in life. We're not perfect. We are growing every day. More wisdom tomorrow than today. That's the goal. But His wisdom is perfect. What's the benefits of living in God's smart house? If we have faith in Christ as our Savior and we live in the fear of the Lord and we desire wisdom, ask for wisdom and saturate our life with His Word, what are the benefits in the real world? It's these things. Stability, spacious, beautiful, meaningful, satisfied, joyful. Don't let that amount. I'll go quickly here. First of all, a benefit of living in God's seven complete smart house is stability. If you've ever been to Rome or if you've seen shows about the Roman Empire, what's the only thing still standing of the buildings? Yeah, the pillars. It's what we sleep on in Arkansas, pillars. It's a pillar. You all are too easy. You're in a good mood today. It's Christmas. This is good. That normally get a few boos, but anyway, don't think you have to do that to fulfill the prophecy or anything. Just go with it. Yeah, you know what? This is what supports the weight. Why did Samson push down to destroy all the Philistines? I mean, this is, the Bible says in verse 1, it's hewn. That means that it is out of stone. It's not wood that will burn. And it says in verse 1 that it's built. God is the builder. This is stability. You know what happens when we walk in God's wisdom? It will bear the weight that we feel in our lives. It supports the weight of life. Look what else, it's spacious. Archaeologists tell us that most homes in Bible days had no pillars. That there were, if they did have pillars, they typically had four. But to have seven pillars, again, speaks of completeness. It's a way of saying God's smart house is a big house. There really is room for whosoever will. And that teaches me it's spacious. The freedom that we have, the liberty that we have in Jesus when we walk in His wisdom, to live a life of freedom that obeys His Word. It's also beautiful. It says again in verse 1 that the pillar is hewn out. It's, you know who does this work on a pillar? It's a craftsman. Who's the craftsman that built the smart house in the Bible? It's God, the greatest artist. His pillar, His wisdom is a beautiful thing. And in His wisdom, it says in verse 3, is in the highest place. It's crying out from the highest place. In other words, it's overlooking everything. When we walk in God's wisdom, we have big picture living. That has the right outlook and overlooks everything. It's a beautiful life because it's His wisdom. You know what else it does when we live in God's smart house? It's meaningful. If you look at verse 2 or verse 3, I believe it is. No, it's verse 3. She has sent out her maidens. That word maidens in verse 3 is a servant. Who are the sent out servants in the New Testament? It's us, the church. When we answer God's call to wisdom, we in turn will call other people to wisdom. Wisdom will witness. Walking in God's wisdom is to be an on-mission Christian. The wisdom, again, of what we're doing in the heart of the matter, the 141 property, is because we want other people to know the wisdom of God. Wisdom is Jesus. Jesus. We want them to know they can live life and make the decisions according to God for His glory. It's satisfied. If you look in verse 2, it says that He has slaughtered, or wisdom has slaughtered the meat. It's a picture of a great feast. There's tons of food. In verse 2, the table is furnished. In other words, there's so much food, you're going to get full. What the Bible is teaching us in God's smart house, you'll find 100% satisfaction for your soul. And the final thing, it's joyful. The celebration we see of the feast and the table and the invitation, it is warm and inviting. It's not a funeral service. It is a celebration. God's smart house is Party Central. This is the place you want to go if you want to have a glorious, wonderful time, not only in this life, but it is pointing to the marriage supper of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, when we will see Jesus face to face and dine at His table. The benefits of God's wisdom, stability, let Him bear the weight of everything you're facing. Freedom in Christ to obey Him. The beautiful life that has big picture outlook of life. Meaningful. We are His servants sent out in His wisdom to declare His gospel in His wisdom. Satisfaction for the soul, and it is joyful. The word man there speaks for all people. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. There are two things in this world every person wants. Happiness and heaven. No one wants hell. Everyone wants happiness. Everyone wants heaven. We'll never have happiness or heaven unless we live a life that glorifies God. And the only way we can ever glorify God, Jesus must be Savior. And then in the fear of the Lord, we must walk in His wisdom. It's a celebration. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. The man, the person, the man, the woman who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than profits of silver. Gaining wisdom is better than fine gold. More precious than rubies. And every single thing, all the things you may desire. Start listing right now everything in this life you desire or want. All of them. Put them on a piece of paper. Cannot compare with living life in God's wisdom. We've talked a lot about houses today. The Jetsons house, smart house technology, most of all God's smart house, God's wisdom. You know, if you own a home, there's one thing about home ownership that I would say the majority of people don't like. It's when it's time to move. I have not found very many people who enjoy moving. But if you know, we live in a house, we accumulate a lot of stuff, and then we get ready to move. But let me share with you, for the next time you have to move, two benefits of moving that I've discovered. There's two benefits of moving. It's trash and treasures. One of the benefits, see, when you move, you're emptying out your house. So the first thing is trash, because it's amazing how much stuff we collect, and maybe through a yard sale, maybe donating it, or maybe even just throwing away. We find whenever you clean out your house and you move, you always find trash you get rid of. I had a buddy of mine. He lived in Florida. He moved from Florida to Oklahoma. He lived in Oklahoma for 6 years and moved to Missouri. When he was moving from Oklahoma to Missouri, he found a box still taped up that he had moved from Florida to Oklahoma. So it had been sitting for 6 years taped up from a 6 year previous move. I said, "What'd you do with it?" He said, "I threw it away." I said, "Did you look in it?" He said, "No." I said, "If I didn't need it for 6 years, I don't need it now." I'm saying, man, I'd have had to look and see what was inside of that. But we get rid of trash. The second thing we do when we move and we empty out our house, here's a good benefit of moving. We discover treasures. I forgot I had that. I forgot about that. And we hang on to those things. So, whenever we have to move, trash we get rid of, treasures we enjoy and hang on to. Christian, every day for us is moving day. Every day we're on the move. Every day is one more step as a follower of Christ, leaving the home of this world. Philippians 3:20, we're citizens of heaven. And every day is moving deeper and deeper into God's smart house. Every day being transformed into the image of Jesus. Every day being more wise in Him, bringing Him more glory, growing as a Christian. Every day we're moving. Every day we're growing in Him deeper and deeper. Not for salvation, not to keep ourselves saved. That's settled. Growing in Christ. And those same benefits of moving apply to us. When we're constantly moving, we can continually not empty out our home, but empty out our hearts of self. And you know what happens when we continually empty out our hearts of self? Trash and treasures. We find things in our life because God is so good to us that we say, I just need to get rid of that. And we find treasures based upon the riches of Christ that we say, wow, I need to hang on to that. Like me, we live in the real world. And there are situations. And there are problems. And there are decisions. And there are goals. There's confusion. God says, respond with my wisdom. I'll allow you to do that. Come on. Come on in. My wisdom 7, it's complete. Pray with me. Father, we do love you. And we thank you that happy is the man who finds wisdom. Jesus, it starts with you. Is there one here today that needs to come to you as Savior and Lord for the forgiveness of sins? It's the only entrance into your wisdom. You are wisdom. And Lord, for those of us who are believers, what is the obedient step? Because a wise life, living in your smart house, is more than just knowing what we're supposed to do. It's obeying what we're supposed to do. Lord, is it baptism? Is it church membership? Is it an area of service? What is that decision, situation, problem, emergency thing that we have to come up with an answer? Thank you that we can walk in the fear of the Lord. Serious, submitted to you. Desire wisdom, ask for wisdom, and saturate our lives with your word to respond with your wisdom for your glory. God, minister to hearts. May we do what you called us to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?